Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you this week from the Never Not Funny Studios in the Valley of Los Angeles. It's Monday, April 18th. To Ocean's 11, and I had a great time in Pensacola, Florida, and New Orleans, Louisiana. Yeah, that, New Orleans. Thank you to everyone at Phineas Fogg's and Howlin' Wolf, and everyone who came out to those shows. I'm trying to perform as many shows this year as possible in as many cities as possible, and getting to meet all the nice people who listen to this shit is pretty cool. I got shows coming up at Asbury Hall in Buffalo, New York, April 28th, Comedy Bar in Toronto on May 1st, Wise Guys in West Valley City, Utah, that's like Salt Lake City, on May 4th, Knitting Factory in Boise, May 6th, the Wilma Theater in Missoula, Montana on May 7th, and I'm doing, I know it was a great John Goodman impression, and I'm doing a 420... It was a really great Mark Addy. Oh, I'm going to talk about House of Thrones later, which is the Tyler Perry version of House of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Okay, I knew you'd have to say something. You couldn't wait until I did all this stuff, because I always say something ridiculous that needs to be corrected. I'm doing a 4:20 in the afternoon stand-up show on May 15th at Flappers in Burbank. Have you been out to Flappers, Sam?
I have not.
Yeah, it's great. And that's at 4:20 in the afternoon, in case I didn't mention that, on May 15th. And all of my tour dates can be found at DougLovesMovies.com, and you can find premium road live eps of Doug Loves Movies and the Benson Interruption, the podcast, in the comedy albums section of iTunes. All right, my guest today tried to remain quiet but had to jump in when I kept saying House of Thorns and Game of Crowns.
You're getting so close to the title of the HBO program.
My guests today are two dudes you might know from their appearances on Adam Carolla podcast and from their own website called Schmoes Know, Christian Harloff. Did I pronounce that right?
You did. And you got Schmoes No right. You didn't say Schmoes Nose. Thank you for that.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I didn't add an S to the end. Do you mostly have black people talking about it? Because they add S's strangely.
We do review the Tyler Perry movies on a regular basis.
Last week, I was made some sort of joke where I needed the words Tyler Perry to come out of my mouth, and I couldn't think of his name. So I was just like, you know, that Madea guy or whatever. And it was Bill Burr just looked at me like, what? And Mark Ellis...
Thank you.
I pronounced that one right also?
Nailed it, buddy.
Okay, Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis. And you know who's got to be, I mean, I've already addressed him by name, but you know he's got to be on every in-studio ep so that I can play the Leonard Maltin game. Sam, the Ma'am Levine.
Wow, thank you. That was a unique way of introducing me.
Yeah, have you ever been called the Ma'am?
The Ma'am, no, I haven't. But I hope it, I really hope it.
It fits better with Sam than Man.
Yeah.
Because people always say Sam the Man about people. It's like that would
rhyme?
Yeah, if it was Sam from Nam would make sense.
If only I had ever visited Nam.
Sam,
maybe be called that. So is that your dirty plan? Am I only on when you're in studio now?
No, you could be. You're going to definitely be again. In the front of an audience again because you're in the upcoming Tournament of Championships that are going to start at any time now. There's 9 qualifiers plus an alternate. And the alternate.
Is it Gina Davis?
The alternate is Simon Pegg.
Wow.
Yeah, he qualified too late to get into this round. Plus, also, he doesn't live here.
Sure.
But he's going to be out here doing Star Trek 2. So
In addition to what?
He said he'd be happy to come back on the show again.
Well, that's great.
As an alternate. But now, if he's on set on Star Trek 2, and then he gets the call from you that he's in the Tournament of Champions, what takes priority?
He's Scotty. Oh, he just beam himself over.
Yeah, he comes.
He does travel fast.
He comes right over. I hope
he's method.
I hope he doesn't have that little sidekick thing that he had in the first Star Trek movie.
Paul?
No. No, Paul was the lead, and they were the sidekicks.
Oh.
I guess, since it was called Paul. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I forgot that
song. Anyway, that was the only thing I didn't like about the first Star Trek, and I didn't hate that much.
It was no
Jar Jar or anything like that. it's not that crazy. So I asked you before the show, one schmo knows the podcast, mm-hmm. The other schmo doesn't know.
Correct.
So that's gonna be interesting.
Correct.
Yeah. All my answers on this podcast are going to be singular.
Yes. All hate
yes
mail.
Yes and no.
All hate mail goes to him.
But at least we've established the difference in your voices, and I hope that people can hear the difference in your one of you is wearing a hat and one of you is not wearing a hat.
That desperation of needing a hat should come out in my voice. But I've seen you many times, Doug. I'm a big fan of yours, so you know, I should get some points.
It's all good. When we play the Leonard Maltin game, you know, you can we'll start with me and go in that direction so he can go third the first time.
Sounds fair.
And if he doesn't pick up on it by the time we get around to him, we will chastise him and throw things at him.
I
hope it's like Mousetrap, you know, where everybody has to kind of be a team together before you actually do the Mousetrap, and then everybody, then it's a free-for-all. But
no, it's every man for himself. It's you and me and Christian against
the computer.
Sam the Ma'am.
No.
Sam the Ma'am. You're too young to be a man. A ma'am, excuse me. You're not too young to be a man.
I am.
Freudian.
Yeah.
I am too young to be a ma'am. I think prefer pull Sam it off. Miss.
Sam the Bearded Ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Can I say something about you that I probably never said to you, but I used to think, especially before I actually knew you in person through poker and podcasts?
Yeah.
I hope you take this as a compliment. When you were on Freaks and Geeks, I thought you were like a little Dana Gould or a littler Dana Gould.
You have told me that before, for the record.
And it's a compliment, right?
And of course I take that as a compliment. Dana's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah.
He's great.
All right, good. And he's married to the head of HBO who put up all the money for Cards of Stone.
Thorns of Sam, Son of Sam.
It's like going to the movies with my grandpa.
You were getting warmer for a minute, and now you're way off course.
All right, well, this is going to be a fun show. I feel it already. And I was watching Spider-Man 3 on the elliptical yesterday.
I saw your tweet. Go on.
Oh, God. Something gets me excited to exercise, like watching Tobey Maguire play against himself in Venom.
I loved that, the musical number. Please go on, Doug.
God, it's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Well, I missed that part. I saw the part where I was on the elliptical for about an hour, and nothing had actually happened yet when I finally stopped watching it. Of course, I was watching it on regular TV with what's it called? What's the show that
Dinner and a Movie?
Yeah, no, like that, but it's on
DVD
FX.
And TV.
Yes.
Hosted by Dave Holmes,
our friend Dave Holmes, who's been on this podcast.
Who is awesome,
and a hot lady.
Hot lady.
Okay. Yeah, hot Dave lady Holmes. Stands next to him and goes, "Oh, you guy."
Plus hot lady you equals guy. DVD every on movie. TV.
Show. Yeah, they had him on a harness yesterday. He was showing what it's like to fly around like Spider-Man. Oh, but anyway, was watching it, and I thought of this question. I'll throw it out to everybody. Do you think Spider-Man 3 is the Godfather 3 of Spider-Man movies? You could just answer yes or no to that one.
I think by default you have to be, because the first one and the second one aren't as bad, nearly as bad as the third one. So
yes, except Godfather 3 was better because Sofia Coppola actually gets shot. On the, no one else.
You know what sucks about Godfather 3 is that if it were not Godfather Part 3, that would actually be a reasonably good movie.
She's so bad, though, in it. I mean, she's awful in it.
I understand. Yeah, but there are plenty of great movies where one actor is not good.
I think it's refreshing. I mean, I think it's refreshing that she knows good acting when she sees it, because her movies, all the acting in her movies is great.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. She knows it when she sees it. Right. She just can't make her face do it.
No, and that's why she's like, screw this, I'm going to direct, because I can't do that.
Spider-Man 3 is also so big. Why is everyone crying in that movie?
It's very sad, the things that they're finally realizing about all that great responsibility.
I just hated that they wasted Venom, you know, because you have this really cool, huge comic book character, and they got a guy that looks like me to play him, and that could have been its own movie, you know, and instead it was like the last 15 minutes of Spider-Man 3.
Well, as soon as they announced, you know, we got Thomas Hayden Church for Sandman, and we got this guy, and you know, and
Topher Grace,
and Franco's still going to be in it, yeah. And you know, as soon as it's like, oh, that sounds great, when does that ever work? No. When the sequel adds a million villains,
see Joel
it always
Schumacher.
Makes yeah exactly it always adds exponential badness to the picture, because they don't concentrate on any particular villain. They just sort of have these types. Like, I love Topher Grace and Thomas Hayden Church, but they were some sort of CGI creation during half of their screen time, at least.
But on the same accord, does that make you nervous for Dark Knight Rises? Because the word keeps coming out, there's more and more. Trust in Nolan. I know
it's the entire
different.
Cast of Inception is going to play different villains in this movie.
I'm not. It doesn't make me nervous. I trust Nolan at this point.
But those first two Batmans have a lot of characters in them, and he juggles them great, and they're all great performers doing great performances. Mm-hmm. I just worry about this third one just because nothing's ever going to be as great as Heath Ledger's Joker in the history of cinema ever again. Like, he's got way too much to try to accomplish.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
a tough
and
one.
Also, that performance alone drove that movie to the second, not alone, because Batman's a big deal too, but you know, drove that movie to the second highest grossing movie of all time, and it couldn't reach Titanic just because movies don't stay in theaters long enough anymore. They're available, they're too available, and not as special as they were when Titanic came out. Like, people probably had to wait in line to go see Titanic. Does anybody wait in line for any movies anymore?
Yes.
Like, really? Friday and Saturday night, people will line up.
Go opening night. If it's like a huge big ticket movie.
Well, the difference is you already have your tickets when you're waiting. Yeah, you have to wait in line after you acquire the tickets easily online, and then you have to show up 9 hours ahead of time just so you can get a good seat in the theater.
Yeah, well, that's another reason why I feel like people don't wait in line anymore, is because I'm always going to the ArcLight where you pick your seat.
You have to buy them.
But I don't even go on Friday or Saturday. I don't know how much busier it gets on those
nights.
Because
you're out of town.
But they also have everything's on multiple screens, so I really don't... I mean, I guess sometimes a movie's big enough to have a line outside. Like, you'll see a little stanchion with a sign, you know, Scream 4, which brings me to that.
Yeah.
You guys, I didn't see your... I guess your reviews are all... audio and visual, right? You have clips on your site,
On our website,
schmozno.com,
and we're also on YouTube, but through our website we have blogs and stuff too, but primarily our stuff is video.
One is like about 6 minutes, and we have clips from the movie in it too, to kind of give you a break from having to look at us. But
you sit together and
uncomfortably close together,
and sort of chat about it in a riffing sort of way, or in a prepared way, like where you know what the other guy's going to say.
Yeah. At this point, it's almost scary that we've got like that.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, we started on Current TV like 3 years ago, and we started kind of back and forth. Have kind of developed, and we know. Almost like stupid twin brothers.
Like those twins from G.I. Joe. Your office?
No, I think that's why we got fired. He probably finally watched
that was
us.
My Al Gore impression. It was really good.
That was really great. I thought you were in some sort of trance.
We got
and
fired.
You might become him.
We wanted to be the two guys who went to North Korea to rescue that reporter. We were going to review North Korea, and they're like, "Nah, you guys aren't the right guy for it." So,
but no. So we approached, the whole reason we started the show was to get like the normal everyday guy, just kind of going back and forth, not doing the snooty critic thing, and just. you know.
Yeah, but you still become the snooty critic when you see everything.
Well, when you see everything ahead of time, you do get a little bit. Like, I'll be talking to my friends. I'm like, I saw Scream 4 2 weeks ago.
But I think the difference is, like, again, like, for me, like, if you read, like, Owen Gleiberman on Entertainment Weekly, I feel like he's telling you, like, if you go see a movie that he doesn't like, you're an idiot. Like, we're not really ever kind of doing that. Like, it's like, if you agree with us, what we say, then, you know, if you like our opinions or similar to you, then you might like what we're talking about. If not, then a lot of people, I didn't like Scream 4. A lot of people liked it.
No.
And they will tell
name me somebody that liked it.
There's a bunch of people that have commented on our
site. Some critic, I think Entertainment Weekly gave it like a B.
They gave it a B minus, and I was surprised. Yeah. I mean, it really is not a good movie. I like these kind of movies, and it was just...
I think if you go into it expecting, like, if you can look at... It's more of a farce now. It's more like Scary Movie 3 or 4 than it is Scream 4.
Well, they lost me at 2. Right? And it jumped over to the Scary Movies got me at 3. Like, I switched over from, well, I can watch a silly movie that's the same thing, essentially, but... knows how silly it is.
Yeah. I scream, you scream, we all scream 4.
I like it. Which one were you in?
If I got Belknap with that.
Which one were you in, Sam?
My mission is
ma'am. Sam, ma'am. Which one were you in?
I was not in any of the scary.
You could have just said any of them. And I know you're not in one. I was in another teen movie,
which... that is, people always say, didn't I see you in Scary Movie 2? And I guess those two movies kind of came out at around the same time.
Yeah, I didn't make that mistake for that reason, but I know that you're in another teen movie.
I spoofed the one that has
I know everything horror. That you are in, and then there's other things that I think you might be in.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
I see. Also Club Dread. That's right.
Yeah, well, Club Dread, that's
I've been in two horror films.
I think Club Dread is... No, Club Dread, Grandpa. but Club Dread, I thought, was underrated. I thought I liked that movie.
I agree. That movie grew on me as the more I got to watch it over the years.
And it was kind of like the Scream movies in that it was kind of bloody and violent and in an unpleasant way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one scene where she reaches out and grabs the knife and then they pull it back through her hands.
Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it makes me, skews me out when I think about it.
Yeah, I didn't like the violence in Scream 4 that much, though. It felt really the same after, because you just run around with a knife and you get that, that gut squishing noise that you always hear, and it's I was done with the gut squishing for 10 minutes.
Oh my God, the Foley artist spent a fortune on melons.
There's some guy at home who did the sound for that movie just holding his head, listening to this, like, my life's work.
It's true. Well, the first one was so, like, that opening scene with Drew Barrymore, it's so
it's amazing.
It's great.
It's amazing how good it is.
Everything.
Yeah.
And even, like, there is humor, because Matthew Lillard, I can't, Shaggy.
I think it's Lillard, yeah. Lillard,
Shaggy. He was funny in it. He's still psychotic, but he was funny, had his lines. And this, everything's forced. I thought Anthony Anderson was forced. I thought Adam Brody was forced. I don't know.
You know what? I dug the opening scene in Scream 4, though. I thought it was a cool way to do it, and I was into it. And I really thought I was going to hate the high school kids going into the movie. And I didn't end up hating the high school kids. I ended up rooting against Courtney Cox and David Arquette, and they all seemed like they were trying to force themselves into the movie more. Like,
right, because it should be about the kids, and it should be, and I think probably the idea of this movie is, well, let's have some young people that they can be in the next one,
right.
And we can finally retire this, you know, the goofy sheriff and the reporter.
They all should have been killed in the first 10 minutes of the movie, then just let these teenagers die in peace.
Yeah, and also that's the thing, is that the audiences that went this weekend probably could care less about Courtney Cox and David Arquette being in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not like sitting around going, oh, I want more of that. Right. They want more of just a scary movie that's fun.
That's what they sold you
and
on.
And is something that's already in the, you know, it's already in the... you know, the public domain and the lexicon. Yeah, it's just like, it's just big something word. We're all familiar with. Like, more people know that mask from that movie than from the painting it's based on.
Is it based on a
painting? Yes, it's that Munch painting, the Scream, is what it's supposed to, look
based
like.
Based on a painting from Scream 1? You mean like the movie poster that somebody did a painting of?
Did you think about calling it Schmoes Don't Know?
That's actually a great out for us, because people say, oh, you're turning into critics. We're not critics. Critics,
no, we're just Schmoes, you asshole. How could you say to a Schmo, wow, you're really a fuck up at what you're doing?
I don't know.
I'm just a Schmo. No shit, we're Schmoes.
Yeah. That's not Sam Worthington. It's a guy from Avatar. What do you want from me?
We get yelled at all the time. Like, you guys didn't look it up on IMDb? No.
Dude, I thought Sucker Punch took place in an orphanage. No, he was a mental institution.
We got ripped.
Like 2 weeks later.
Yep.
I love the movie, but look, I went there for the dragons and the
I wish, like, if I ever see it again, I'm going to just watch it and think in my head, this is an orphanage. It might raise the stakes a little bit, because I was kind of like, these women all seem adult enough that any group of them could overtake these assholes that are in charge of this place. I just couldn't get what the menace was. They just seemed like they were all...
They weren't singing enough songs together. Right. That was their downfall.
It's a cutthroat orphanage. You either get adopted or you get a lobotomy. There's no middle ground here.
It's the first movie in a long time that I've spent the entire time wishing, just praying and wishing that I was loving it. Like, I just wanted to... I wanted to like it so much, and I never gave up on it until it was over, and I went, oh, it never did anything for me.
Oh, it never turned over for you, huh?
I hated the first 20 minutes of it because it was just a loud, obnoxious kind of music video. And then I said, all right, well, this is just obviously just stylized trash, and I'm just going to go with it. And I think I went the opposite. I was just like, I shut my brain off, and I was like, all right, I get what they're trying to do, and I enjoyed it for what it was for me. But, yeah, I could see where a lot of people hated it, for sure.
Yeah, and I just... while I was watching, I was saying this could be one of those things where it's going to get somewhat of a cult status, and the people that love it really love it.
Yeah, I dug it. I really liked it. I gave it 4 out of 5 schmoes, our rating system, and it made me really believe in Zack Snyder as far as making the new Superman movie. Right?
Well, that's going to be that could go either way at this point, because if he wants to continue to do the thing he did, because essentially Watchmen is just is kind of a prequel to Sucker Punch in that major sequences take place over, like, you hear practically an entire song happening over a sequence. That happens a lot in Watchmen, and Sucker Punch is that wall to wall. So it's that's a little scary that he would do that with a Superman movie, because I don't think that would work for a Superman movie.
No, it would be awful. If it's closer to the Owl movie then it could be really good.
That's the only thing that gives me hope.
But the Owl movie told a really, I didn't see it, but it told a really straightforward story and had a lot of physical action.
And
I think
there was one song in there. It like turned into a Disney movie for like 5 minutes where it was like a Pocahontas song or something, but I was in the bathroom during that time.
But
so
the thing is, too, it's the only movie that he's got that has any character development is that Owl's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
It is weird watching the owls talk for like the first 5 minutes of the movie. You're like, owls can't talk. But after that, you're like, it's like watching a cover band. It takes 5 minutes to realize how silly it is. And then you really...
Well, that's the thing about Sucker Punch for me, is that it was just like, I found all the actors appealing to look at, but I didn't find any of what they were saying or doing or how they were behaving interesting. Like, I just couldn't get into it. And I'm like... You know, I draw the line at Charlie's Angels 2, but Charlie's Angels 1 was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Doug.
I enjoyed it, but then Charlie's Angels 2 was too much. It was too much.
Full throttle.
Yeah.
They tried to take Benson to sixth gear, and he was like, no, I'm downshifted, baby.
It really took an ugly turn of like, oh, more of that is not a good idea. Like, it worked once, you know, and we should move on. Like, but in general, like, sexy girls fighting is the best.
Kill Bill?
And yeah, of course. I just saw the whole thing.
The whole bloody
New Beverly. Yeah, I sat there and watched part 1 and 2 with an intermission in between the two.
Yep.
And the only thing that was different was the unrated version, but the only difference I could tell was that the scene where with the crazy 88s, he doesn't have to go to black and white. It just stays in color the whole time. So you get all the bloodshed, except for a couple of times it goes to black and white, because now it's a stylistic choice.
Right.
But for a while it was a choice I had to make because of censorship.
Is there any truth that he's going to do the sequel to it? He had said it a couple of times.
Who knows what he's going to do or how long it's going to take. If anyone here had ever worked with him or knew him, they could probably weigh in.
If we only had a guy on the inside.
If anyone here was in a movie and spent a lot of time working on it and then... It only has a couple of brief scenes.
What was the name of that movie he did about the Nazis? It was like Uncelebrated Assholes or something like
that. We ever had a
something about Hang Thrones.
On, hang on, guys. I'm texting BJ Novak. Bringing it to the bottom of this. Look, Quentin loves to talk about the movies he has in his head that he's working on.
Yeah, and getting them to paper is a whole other deal.
I'm sure he's sketched out stuff, but it's like, since Pulp Fiction, he's been talking about, oh, we're going to do the Vega Brothers. Oh, we're going to do Kill Bill Volume 3. Oh, we're going to do, on the set of Bastards, he was like, we're going to do a prequel to this. We're going to do Aldo and the Bear Jew coming up through Italy. Like,
I'd watch that. I would hope he tables the Vega brothers.
I think it's been tabled. I think it's officially been tabled. But I mean, this is a guy who, like, the story is never complete for him. Like, there's always more that can be told. And I think if he ever actually sat down and really started to do that for his old movies, he'd never make anything new.
So, yeah. And by table, I meant shit can.
I think you're safe. I think
because on the table, it still could happen.
Right. I think
want it incinerated.
I think he publicly said a couple years ago that both the guys are too old.
I'd actually be fascinated by that, though. Actually,
I'd love to see the script. That I'd be interested.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to. That I think that's what he should do is just put out. You know, if he's.
He will.
I don't know if laziness is the right word for it because his stuff he puts out, at least it's always pretty amazing, you know?
No, it is.
If he was putting out things more quickly, like a lot of the directors that make a movie a year, his stuff would be more hit and miss, or mostly miss in the case of him. His new movie is his 42nd movie.
Holy shit.
Woody Allen's made 42 movies, and I could name probably 37 or 38 of them. I've always loved him and paid attention to what he was doing, but. Man,
so Rachel McAdams?
Last few years have been brutal.
Yeah, it's Rachel McAdams and Owen Wilson
playing the role
of Woody Allen.
Oh yeah,
you know Woody Allen's alter ego.
Even the one everybody loved with Scarlett Johansson. If Scarlett Johansson wasn't in it running around acting sexy, it would have been boring as fuck.
Is that Match Point?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually thought that was a good movie.
Scoop was terrible.
I didn't see that.
Scoop was the one where Ian McKellen, not McKellen, the guy from Deadwood.
Ian McShane.
He plays a dead magician who appears to Woody Allen and, you know, helps him because he's a magician, a shitty magician.
I see.
And he appears before him, and then Johansson becomes his assistant. But it's supposed to be a comedy. It's so not funny. Mm-hmm. And everything that comes out of Scarlett and by the way, Woody Allen, if you listen to this podcast, forget it. There's nothing I could say to save it at this point.
Jesus.
Trashing the shit out of his work.
I
was already saying that, it's just...
you love Woody Allen, but...
In Scoop, he finally makes the... Scarlett has to... All of her lines sound like... She talks like Woody Allen.
Yeah, I noticed that from watching the trailer. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah,
that's
finally going too far, you know, like... Until he gets like Lucy Liu to talk like him in a movie, then it would really be like, wow.
I'd like to see that.
We've really gotten to the bottom of this.
I've never felt more comfortable on a podcast because he just called Scarlett Johansson. I think you're going for Natasha Henstridge is what you were about to call her.
I don't think so, but man, Natasha Henstridge, I saw her in line at the grocery store one time and I was just like, when she takes out her boobs in Species, yeah. That's probably one of the. That's right up there with like Jamie Lee Curtis in Trading Places.
When she gets hatched,
and Phoebe
in Species,
Cates. Phoebe Cates might still be number one.
What about the chick from Just One of the Guys?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yes,
the trouble with that one though is that it's the legend has it that's really her boobs, but they cut into a close up like it's a double. Like
right.
I think you see her face though. Then I think they pull out.
Yeah, and
you definitely see her face.
Yeah,
don't worry.
But initially it's like oh no, this is gonna be one of those. Oh no, I gotta get scared. Oh no, these aren't gonna be real. But I just think that there's something about. As a man, I just have never, I can never ever forget whenever somebody really hot shows up on screen, has a real part in the movie, like is a real actress, is not some idiot, and then they just take out their amazing boobs. Like it's the greatest moment when that happens.
Yeah, well, even worked with Your Highness when Natalie Portman showed her ass.
How could you say this to me when I haven't seen that yet?
Well, it's in the trailer.
And was assuming.
It's in the trailer.
Oh, well. She could show her ass in the trailer.
Yeah,
How much ass is that?
Red band trailer.
Oh,
it's in the red band trailer.
Schmoes, no.
Is it ass or is it in that thong?
It's in the thong, but I mean, it's pretty much her ass. And then everyone was like, well, that could be a double. It's a full shot of her. Like,
well, you see her ass pretty good in Closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Our editor's editing that. We did about 30 minutes on her ass in that review, and they had to cut it down like a minute. Of us talking about it.
Because we thought her ass started in it.
Because the movie had other qualities that I'm sure were around that we didn't really pay attention to. It was funny.
Yeah, well, I can't believe it's getting such universally bad reviews. I just kind of write it off as the MacGyver factor where, like, an older critic that's out of touch is sitting in a room by himself watching this movie that's, you know, as by all accounts, pretty dirty and silly.
It's just...
I said MacGyver again. Yeah. I always call it MacGyver in conversation.
We're all thinking, wait, there's a MacGyver movie? We have to see this immediately.
I'm just distracted right now by Netflix. How much Sam Levine looks like
Tarantino.
No, Wolverine.
You know what?
Wolverine, the cartoon character.
You look
Wolverine
like Tiny Wolverine.
Now, here's why.
You went from listening. Tiny Dana Gould to Tiny Wolverine. That's an upgrade, Sam. Congratulations.
I will take it. I'll take it. Now, allow me to explain what's going on here. I have not shaved. I've grown a little bit of a beard here, and I've not had my hair cut in a long time because I am meeting with a potential director person for a role that requires me to be kind of hippie-ish.
Hippie-ish?
Yeah.
And you look so... It looks... You've grown beard, but it just all looks very... clean cut.
Really?
It looks like fucking Wolverine.
That's insane. All I did was shave my neck so my girlfriend
But that's what I'm saying. If you want to be hippie beard, you got to have some neck hair.
Beard?
Yeah, it looks like a well-maintained beard.
This took
seconds. Doesn't look like a hippie.
You know what was great about your explanation?
Yeah, grow out some, shave it weird. Go in like Keanu Reeves in The Gift and
I'm afraid that's all I'm
Take out weird
friend.
Chunks of it with a razor and then you'll look like more of a hippie.
If only that were what really happened. Keanu Reeves, you should never attempt to grow a beard. Period.
No, yeah, no, he's like, mine's terrible too. I can't really, I shouldn't throw.
And neither should I. This is not a very good
I shouldn't
beard,
throw but. Stones at his lake house. Because I might get a letter a year early. All right, we got to play the Leonard Maltin game.
Wait, can we talk about Source Code real quick? Because I actually saw that this weekend.
All right,
yeah.
Let's talk about it really quick.
Did you guys see it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, spoiler fucking alert. There's no way to talk about this movie without.
I know, no spoiler alert.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
People are waiting.
Somebody
gets screwed, is basically what
people are waiting for.
Somebody's soul gets effed over.
He gets screwed.
Yes, he gets absolutely fucked.
I totally agree with you. I'm without spoiling it. Somebody gets screwed bad.
It's about a train exploding and lots of people dying, so it's safe to assume someone got fucked.
Yeah, someone gets really screwed in that movie.
Somebody is at the pearly gates of heaven complaining, excuse me.
I'm not supposed to be here.
The train exploded. Soul that I was going to live.
That's the truth.
Why do I have to look ahead and watch this other guy bang my girlfriend? Why is that happening?
God, you just spoiled it.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
Kind of.
No. It's still interesting. I will say this. If you like any sort of time travel, if you like alternate reality
Quantum
stuff,
Leap, man.
See this movie. Yeah. It's actually really entertaining.
It was my favorite movie of the
year. The Schmoes never give spoilers unless Little Wolverine brings it up. In that case, you have to run with it.
Nice work, LW.
Thank you very much.
Let's play the Leonard Maltin game. Take out your phone.
You explain the rules.
It's this game that we play.
I believe we played this on the Corolla podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
No,
when
didn't.
You guest hosted it.
Oh, I made you guys play it on there?
You did guest host Adam Carolla once.
I did do that. Yeah. You guys were on, but I thought we just shot the shit. I didn't think we played the Leonard Maltin game.
I'm just comfortable with you, regardless of what game you want to play.
Though. Well, Brian and Allison were on last week, and they played.
Well, I'm the last guy to not play it, so let's get it going.
All right, here we go.
You'll figure it out as we go. Right, Sam will start with me.
We're going to start with you.
I normally host this part. And the whole show. Let's do that sometime. You host up until this part, and then I run the game.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Or you're going to be in the tournament of championships. So all right.
Here we go.
All right.
So your three categories to choose from. In honor of 420, Clint Howard is having his birthday then. So you've got Clint Howard movies.
So let me just set it up for everybody. We're 2 days out from 420 now, and when they're listening to this, it will have been 2 days ago.
Right.
Continue.
But, 420 for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Clint Howard movies.
Putting it in a time and place.
You could do Clint Howard movies. You can do, because we're still...
Wait. That's the 420 category?
That's one of my 420
categories. These are all 420 categories.
No, I just have two 420 categories.
Oh, my God. I've never done that. I've never had two categories that are under a subcategory heading or something.
It's fine.
All right.
So you got Clint Howard movies.
Sam's taking a lot of crap from the guests on this one.
I always take crap from Doug.
I got to talk him through it. It's like if Alex Trebek was playing Jeopardy, he probably would tell them when they're doing it wrong.
He probably would. Baseball movies, or, and this is a great category, because I think it leaves so much open, movies my mom likes.
Shot her an email this morning. Mom's like,
my mother, Lynn Levine, I shot her an email this morning. I was like, just name some of your favorite movies. And so there you go. That's what I got back.
All right, so Mama Wolverine movies,
mm-hmm.
or baseball.
Or Clint Howard movies.
Or Clint Howard. I'm going to go with... Now, when you say Clint Howard, you mean Ron Howard movies.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
I know. He has been in a few others. But,
I have
but he's been in every Ron Howard movie. Do you think there is a Ron Howard movie he hasn't been in or wasn't in?
Ooh, we should look into that.
I bet you there hasn't been. I bet you there hasn't been. And his dad's in most of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Rance.
Rance Howard.
Yeah, and the mom was in some.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I know a lot about the Howards.
Yeah. Wow. Stumped.
Weird. I will go with baseball.
All right. Would you like a baseball movie from 1988, 1993, or 2005?
Years mean nothing to me. I'm terrible with the years. Give them to me again.
88,
93, 05.
Let's go
88.
Good choice.
Right.
Here we go.
So don't wait until it's your turn responding to anything, because you might hear something where you think you're supposed to say.
I'm just being the cousin on Family Feud rooting you on. That's all I'm doing.
No, we're playing against each other.
Okay.
So don't root me on.
Cheer against
Tear me down. Oh. Yeah. It's going to come around to you in a second, and you'll see. You'll figure it out.
All right,
Doug.
Once
you watch Christian do
it. Leonard liked this one. He gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
He said it was exquisitely detailed.
Uh-huh.
And the writer-director touches all the bases, except perhaps in terms of emotion. And there are 16 names.
Whoa!
Right?
That's a lot of names.
It's a lot, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of names. All right. So now it's a bidding game, Mark, where we go around, the three of us, and bid on how many names from the cast of the movie it would take to guess the name of this movie from, 16. And the 16th person is the lowest billed name that is listed on Leonard Maltin's app. So I'm going to start the bidding. I'm going to bring it down a little bit and say 12 names.
All right.
It would take me, reading from the bottom of the list up, to name this baseball movie.
All right. Christian, would you care to bid lower than Doug, or do you want him to name that movie?
Exquisite.
12 names. Yeah, I want him to name the movie. All
right. So by doing that, it doesn't go to you. You don't get a chance.
Yeah, I get it.
Now I see what's happening. See, this happens. I too often don't say, when I ask the guests ahead of time to listen to the podcast, all the way through.
Yeah.
Because they never listen all the way through.
You've basically just given Doug the point on this, but that's fine. That's fine.
And I'm the one who hasn't listened to the podcast.
Maybe I won't get it.
Maybe I won't. There's almost no way you can't get it.
Damn, Schmo. He's going to pee in
your
face.
But that's how you do it. Is you challenge the other person to name it, and if I fail, you'll get the point. If I get it, I'll get the point.
All right, let's not judge me yet. Let's see how he does.
And we'll do another one.
Yeah, he could.
It's first person to 2 points. So you're still in this.
All right, here we go. First name is Maggie Renzi,
the great.
And you got John Anderson. Do you know it already?
From Maggie Renzi?
Oh, I
know. No.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
All right.
Studs Terkel.
Yep.
Kevin Tye.
Yeah.
Bill Irwin. James Reed.
Oh, I know it.
All right, I'm only 6 names in.
Yeah. But I still think I can say it.
All right, go for it.
Eighth Man Out.
Judges?
Oh, that's not the right name?
Sorry, Grandpa.
Yes.
I know, I got it wrong, right? Wait. Let me get it right.
That's not how the game's played, is it?
It's something men out.
You're so very close. You're so close. Yeah.
Wait a second. I got this. I know how to figure it out.
People are screaming in their cars.
Catcher, first base, shortstop, second base, third base, 3 in the outfield.
No.
That's not how you get it? It's not a baseball reference?
You were so close with everything you'd said before.
This is great.
8 men out.
There it is!
What did I say?
You said 8th man out.
Oh, well, yeah. I was hedging my bets by fudging the pronunciation because I wasn't completely clear.
No, it's like going to the movies. I wanted tickets for the... What did the kids want to see? 8th man out?
My mom doesn't see this.
The one with Cusack.
If I was going to screw it up for humor, I could do better than that. Because I do that all the time at the box office. It's fun to just say it as inaccurately as possible but while still conveying what you want so that they'll just give you they usually just give you the ticket without any discussion.
Yeah.
They just kind of know which one you're trying to see. Give me one for Boylesque. They're not going to go, did you mean?
All right. Well, congratulations, Doug.
All right.
I believe for the first time in the history of me hosting this game, you have a point.
Really?
He still gets it, huh?
I'm afraid I think that you might be right.
John Sayles directed that.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. Wow. So I'm not as stupid as I sound.
And no, sir.
Maggie Renzi is his producer.
Oh, Matt knew that Maggie Renzi was the producer on the movie.
Dumbbell nap.
Wow. That was a good clue for you.
All right, so point, Benson, Christian.
Yes, sir.
We're going to start with you now.
Let's start with Mark because he didn't even get a chance to participate.
All right.
Very well. Christian Mark had a shot, blew it.
You're going to get to choose.
But you're doing a great job, Sam. I'm not picking on everything.
Thanks, buddy. All right, here we go. So you're going to get, I will give you three different categories. How about that?
Okay, let's do it.
You can select from another one of my 420 birthdays, Crispin Glover.
Ooh,
as a 420 birthday. So Crispin Glover movies.
Oh, Clint Howard was born on 420.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I get it.
There you go.
That makes a lot of sense.
Figured it out. Oh, terrible. All right. Crispin Glover movies.
Where was he born?
I'll hit you again with movies my mom likes.
Okay.
And
you're really pushing that.
Or you can also choose from In Theaters Now, which is a very popular category.
Oh, it's such a popular category.
Yeah, In Theaters Now, I think I would probably... I'm most confident with In Theaters Now.
You don't get a rating because Leonard doesn't rate. No, his reviews are longer.
Yeah,
but you'll still get a few clues, and you know that it's In Theaters Now.
Okay.
And so if you guys are seeing everything, then you've probably seen the movies that he's got.
I will put my credibility as a movie reviewer on the line, and I will do movies in theaters now.
Would you like,
with all apologies to your mom,
would you like a movie from now, now, or now?
The third one.
Okay, here we go.
Have I ever said that?
No.
Okay, good.
But
I just mean that, you know, that was a funny joke. I'm happy for you.
Thanks, buddy.
Sounds like something I might have said at some point. It is weird that you have three of them loaded up and you just have to pick one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You might have said it. Yeah, I may have heard it.
I play this game a lot, you know, especially when I'm alone.
Here we go. Leonard says, it's well-crafted and well-cast. One problem may be its length. The lead does a fine job, but Leonard has to rate this one as a near miss. And you've got 10 names.
Hmm. I think I can get it on 6 names.
All right. That's a strong bid.
I should tell you guys, since you haven't played before, the bidding goes all the way to 0, and if you go to negative names, you choose to, that means you have to name it in order from the top of the billing, however many negative names you say. Yeah, complicated
shit. So if we'd done that on the last one on 8 Men Out and you give negative one, then you'd have to say John Cusack and go down the list of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So what do you got? 8th Man, yeah. Oh, the 8th Man was, wasn't that early Verhoeven with Rutger Hauer?
I think it was, maybe. You're right.
All right.
Other than that, my Verhoeven cinema technique class.
I'm very good at trivia where you're not saying anything anybody's heard of or knows about, and you can just say it and act like you're smart.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
You've cornered the market.
Yeah.
All right, so it's 6 names to you, Doug.
I'll go 5 names.
All right.
I'm not kidding around.
I'll try 4.
Wow. Ooh, now it's getting interesting.
I'll do 3.
Whoa!
How many names are there? 10?
10 names.
And it's in theaters now?
It's in theaters right now.
What are the clues again?
It's well-crafted and well-cast. One problem may be its length. The lead does a fine job. Len rates it as a near miss.
It's in theaters now?
Right now. We can go out and see it this afternoon. You and me. Like the old days, Doug.
I'll go negative one name.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to get into the tournament of championships.
Matt Belknap.
He threw his headphones
off.
So
shocked, his headphones shot off of his head.
There could be a sound issue for a second.
Shot off of his head.
Benson was laying low for a minute, then Amarillo Slim just steps up to the table.
I had to think about it. I put all the clues together. I think I know what it is.
I think I know what it is, too. So, but
well, hang on. If Christian...
He has to say name it or go negative two or more names.
Yeah.
On that one, I'll go negative two.
Oh my god!
Wow!
You try it.
All right, I think I'm going to go negative three.
This is insane.
Now you
got
to get them in order in the building as listed by Leonard. It's not always accurate. Just want to give you a heads up on that. So I got to say name it and name 3 names.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So what's the movie?
You
want to
start with the movie?
Yeah, starting with the names is silly if it's the wrong movie.
Yeah, I think it's Source Code.
and I think it's Jake.
Hang
Gyllenhaal.
On, wait a second. Is it source code?
It is not.
I don't think so. I don't think
You're
so.
You're with the trains. You
okay.
Know?
Like, all right. All right. Let me
well,
try
the
now.
Point goes to.
I get the point.
Oh,
yeah,
you just
yeah.
won the game, by the way.
Oh, I won the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. But it's the Adjustment Bureau.
No.
Oh, that's wow. what I thought it was. I was going to Adjustment Bureau, Matt Damon, suck it. So what is it? It's well crafted.
Why would source? Because the, you know the like the near miss is like when two planes
no,
almost
I
hit
know,
each other.
I know.
The
I,
trains.
Know. I know.
Arthur.
No, no, no. He says the movie. he not, says the movie's a near miss.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going
to. It's not supposed
reading.
To be a pun.
I'm going to read from the bottom up.
Oh, I love it.
And then you guys
can
you
Matt just, play.
Absolutely, All everyone right. can play. Here we go. Bryan Cranston.
Oh.
Francis Fisher.
Oh yeah!
Stop! The, stop! Stop! Make
lawyer.
A lawyer.
Nice move, dude. Well, our YouTube channel subscribers numbers were plummeting until I saved it with the Lincoln lawyer.
This has happened at least two or three times I've done this. I sit at home for hours preparing 18 fucking great movies, and it only takes two to crown a winner.
Well, sometimes it goes fast, but we could do a bonus one for
absolutely.
Fun.
Mama Wolverine should get her category heard, is
yeah,
what I
thank
say.
You. Movies my mom likes.
I brought for you guys, we'll play that category in a second, right. but I brought for all my guests on the show today, each of you get a Woot Monkey.
Oh, wow.
Finally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And if you listen to the show, you'd know all about Woot
Monkey. Woot Monkey.
I felt like I was going to have to be in the audience.
You pull this thing out, and then it will make this noise whether you want it to or not for the rest of time.
You don't know how appropriate this is for us.
Yeah. This is great.
Their arms are slingshots, so you can actually shoot them through the air.
See, like this.
Oh, wow. You, the home viewer, we're slinging monkeys across the,
across the studio here.
Across the studio.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really
it's like
fun.
Planet of the Apes trailer.
Pull the thing first so it'll scream when you shoot it through the air.
Oh, yeah. You got to give him like a rebel yell kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll go. Yeah. Nope.
There you go. Yeah, pull that out and now throw him.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
You use the slingshot arms and shoot him through the air.
Off you go.
Oh,
monkey.
My.
Oh,
well done.
The apes would not rise if
broke
that
his
was
leg.
The,
yeah.
We have an injury
screaming. Of the monkeys.
Yeah.
And I've been for people coming to my live shows, I've been shooting them out into the crowd on occasion.
Wow.
The monkeys.
Doug, I'm really
so
proud of you.
So be sure to wear your slickers.
I'm really proud of you. Remember when you texted me today to remind me about the podcast? What did I text you back? I said I prepped a great Malton game today, and I have a good feeling for you.
Oh yeah, you did.
Because
you
haven't won yet,
me.
And I felt like these were all in your way.
Well, also, it's you know, mentally, I was here. I was at the game before these guys.
Yeah,
like Tyson prepping himself against Spence.
Yeah.
All right,
you don't want to run into Benson on 420 week playing the Leonard Malton game.
Since Christian never got to choose a category or anything, you're getting stuck with movies
mom's
my mom likes.
Okay,
so you get one from 1990, 95, or 2007.
Mm. Recent movies for your mom.
90.
I asked her to. There were a bunch in there that were not.
Holiday Inn, is that in theaters?
1990.
All right. 1990.
I love Meet Me in St. Louis. What's the year?
This is 1990.
Okay.
And Leonard, much like myself, loved this movie. He gave it 3.5 stars. I would give it 4.
Okay.
Called it exciting and complex. Long, potentially confusing at times. But it was an Oscar winner for sound effects editing.
Is he describing this podcast or the movie? That was...
And you get 13 names.
Hmm.
1990. Actually, I think I can do it in 10.
10 names. That's a strong opening bid.
Okay. I'll go to 8.
8 names. Ooh, jumped a bid.
-2, please.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no way you know already.
It's -2, please.
So it's hopped up 2? On roids.
Yeah.
You already know it?
I'm excited about this.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure I know it.
I hope so.
It's got to be that,
embarrassing.
Right? Read the clues again.
Name the movie.
All right, one more time for you.
Christian says name it. Yeah.
Exciting, complex, long, potentially confusing at times. Oscar winner for sound effects editing. Give me the -2.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what this is.
Oh, what an asshole.
You have to name it based on that.
Ghost. No, because it changed with the potentially confusing. Threw it off. But hang on a second.
Can I ask a question
about
the
think
hint?
About it.
Because you said sound effects editing. Could it have won other Oscars that you're not mentioning?
Do you know? I don't know. This was in Leonard's review.
Okay. Damn you, Malton, and your riddles.
Yeah, no, the clues don't help. They just make it harder. That's true. That's part of the fun about it.
In my opinion, it should have been nominated for other things if it wasn't.
Huh, okay.
I don't know if
it was. And obviously your mom feels the same way.
She loves this movie, her category, as much as I do. Yeah.
All right, go ahead and give me the two names.
The negative two?
Yeah, give me the two negative names. Damn it, I really thought I'd honed in on it, but the confusing part doesn't make sense.
What did you think it was?
I thought I was going to say Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, Titanic.
1990?
Yeah. I know. I'm terrible
with
years.
What the hell's the matter with
terrible
you?
Terrible years. When was Titanic?
97.
All right.
And it was
all
December.
All right. It wasn't the theme of my
1997,
prom.
97, that movie opened.
It was Christmas, like Christmas of 97, right? This is when I saw it.
December, yeah.
And I fell in love with Celine
Dion. I remember
Dion.
The day I stood in line.
All right, let's hear the clues again. We can figure this out.
I have a shot
like
in the dark that I'm willing to take.
Now.
Let's hear the clues again.
It's exciting. It's complex.
Titanic, no.
It's long and potentially confusing at times.
And there's no boats.
But it's an Oscar winner for sound effects editing. 13 names.
JFK, Kevin Costner.
That was 91.
Walter Matthau.
Ooh, you know what? It could be because didn't Dances with Wolves.
No. Oh.
Beat Goodfellas in every major category of the Oscars that year, so it could be Goodfellas.
That's nice.
Is it confusing? Goodfellas?
What's confusing?
Goodfellas is 91.
Who knows what Leonard Maltin was on in the 90s, man?
Oh, all
right. He's right. Dances with Elves, as I like to call it, did in fact beat Goodfellas for Best Picture.
Oh, right. Okay.
But this is 90.
This is also 90. You know what? I think this one may have even been nominated for Best Picture.
They nominate five of them.
Yeah. This one, it should. If it isn't nominated for Best Picture that year, it's a fucking crime.
Fort Fairlane.
All right. Well, do you want to do the same thing where you read from the bottom? We'll yell it out when we know it.
There we go. Here we go.
Sounds like fun. But somebody won the pool and the point. You won. Christian got a point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get
a
point.
I mean, there's no reason to get points at this point.
I still
Timothy
got a
Carhart.
Who?
Timothy Carhart.
I know it.
No, I don't.
Great name.
You're going to know it on this one,
Timothy
though.
Carhart was the bad guy.
I guarantee you, one of you guys is going to know on this next name.
In Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Fred Dalton Thompson.
That's, we're going to guarantee we
Ooh,
know it from that?
Yeah. He's in all those, he's in every, if you're a 90s action movie, you
Hunt
need
for
Fred
Red October?
Dalton.
That's the movie! Oh, yeah. Nicely done. You get it.
Only two fucking names.
That's all you needed.
Why do I have to go and fucking show off with the negative two bullshit? Why couldn't I just wait and let it come to me?
It would have
just came to me.
And a great play by Sam's mom throwing the Hunt for Red October.
I know. That's not a mom movie.
Yeah, it's not a mom movie. And her other two movies, you would not.
She loves Tim Curry. She loves anything that Tim Curry's in.
She does. Tim Curry.
Does Ned Vaughn get billing in there?
Wrecked in this game.
No.
Ned Vaughn's like the kid sitting there at the thing going beep, beep, and going, oh no, there's the thing.
Yeah.
And I knew him. I was kind of friends with him, so I was excited to see him in that.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm very proud of you, Doug. Knew you want to take a movie my mom likes from 1995 or 2007?
We're out of time, but that sounds like a lot of fun on another. Okay, let's do it.
Okay, real quick.
What are the years?
95, 2007.
All right. 95, 2007. All right. Oh, since I won the Leonard Maltin game, each of you on the blank space here on this piece of paper, please write down somebody you would like me to call a shithead for my signature closing of the show.
Doesn't matter who it is.
Anybody you want. Anyone you want Doug Benson to call a shithead, about 1,600 people are going to hear this.
That's...
What's that? I'm talking about the year. People in the 1600s listen to this. what are the years?
95, 2007.
That your mom likes.
These are movies my mother loves.
Let's go more recent. Let's go 2007.
Here we go. Three stars.
Is J-Lo in it?
No.
Okay.
Three stars. My mother thinks...
so far, your mother has good taste. Hunt for October is a good movie.
I think this movie deserves four stars. Leonard called it rock solid. And the writer-director tells the story with supreme assurance. And then Leonard also says, be sure to sit through the credits. Nine names.
Be sure to sit through the credits.
Like, I know, right?
Why? For outtakes or for an additional scene?
Now,
or
I know what he's talking
saying,
about.
Go home?
I know what he's talking about, but I think it's weird he wrote that in his review.
Hmm.
Let me point that out.
I think I know how to pronounce those names.
Nine names, Doug.
Oh, are you starting with me?
I guess, right? Who should we start with?
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't, does it?
Yeah.
I was too worried about who the shithead was, so I didn't hear
What's the year again?
It's 2007, rock solid, three stars, rock solid. The writer-director tells the story with supreme assurance. Be sure to sit through the credits. Nine names.
I'm going to go with, what's the year again?
It's 2007.
2007.
He only gave it 3 stars. Yeah, sounds like he loves it. And I love 3 stars.
I think it deserved 4.
What are you doing, Len? It's a 4-star movie.
Yes.
And what's the year again? Movie. 97?
2007.
Jesus 10 years Christ. After Titanic.
Oh, this is like my grandpa.
Wait, 2007. That's too recently for what I think it is. Damn it. Give me clues one more time.
Rock solid. Writer-director tells the story with supreme assurance. Be sure to sit through the credits. Nine names, Doug. You don't have to get it all on that. I'll give you some name clues. Come on, just make it.
All right, all right. I'll go 7 names.
7 names. What do you say, Christian?
Not extremely confident, but I think if I hear 6 names, I'll do 6.
What do you say, Mark?
I have confidence in myself, my abilities. 5 names.
I'll go 4.
This is good, guys. We're on to something. 3?
I'll go 3.
Was that a silent bid? Am I supposed to call them out now? He just held up 3 fingers.
3. I'll try 3.
Let's do 2.
Wow.
Because I want to throw it to Benson with 1 name to go. I want to see.
We're down to 2 names. You can either say name that movie or bid lower.
I'm just so bad with years. I have no real strong feeling about what this is. Sounds like a movie from it could have been 10 years ago. Could have been last year. Nothing really specific in any of the clues.
Every day you wake up, everything that happened before you woke up, it's just a mash in your brain, isn't it?
No, it's not.
There's
bad.
Just no.
I remember names and faces and, you know, stuff about movies. You bring up a movie, I could tell you something about it.
Sure.
You know? But the year?
Aren't you on those VH1, like, I Love the 80s shows where you
no,
have to
I'm
know
not.
A
That's
specific
why
year?
I'm not on those. Everybody thinks I'm on those, but I was on Best Week Ever, where I always knew what week it was.
Always, Doug. There were a couple times.
Pretty
in there.
Much always. All right. All right. So I'm gonna say Mark, name that movie.
All right, Mark. You're gonna get 2 names.
Okay.
And they are Austin Williams
ooh.
And Dennis O'Hare. And if it means anything, Dennis spells his name with just the one N.
With just the one N. Yeah. Like a Dennis Leary
and one
kind
S.
Of thing.
Yeah. And one apostrophe in the O'Hare.
2007.
Rock solid. 3 stars. Writer-director tells the story with supreme assurance.
Supreme assurance.
Be
probably,
sure to sit through those credits.
It's probably a story that's been told throughout the ages. Thus, the director had to be assured when he told it. Rock solid. I'm going to say it was the adaptation of Beowulf.
That's incorrect. I'm not even hosting. I know that's wrong.
That is decidedly incorrect.
All right. Dennis O'Hare, really, though, is getting me... he doesn't do a ton of movies. He's more of a Broadway theater actor, right, who I've seen on a couple of occasions.
You've won the point anyway, so how about David Lansbury?
Oh.
Ken Howard.
Oh.
Michael O'Keefe.
Oh, shit. Wait a second.
The late Sidney Pollack.
Oh, man.
This next one's going to give it away.
You think? Oh.
Tilda Swinton.
Oh, Michael Clayton?
There it is.
Oh, son of a bitch. Dennis O'Hare was in Michael Clayton.
Wife's going to kill me on that
totally
one, too.
I totally remember that.
One of our first dates.
How great is that movie,
oh, Michael
way?
Clayton or Beowulf? Yeah.
That was probably Sidney Pollack's last on-screen role.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
And he was always so good as an actor.
So good. I loved his dramatic stuff. In Eyes Wide Shut, he's so perfect.
And in comedies,
creepy.
He's good. He was good. He was just
great.
Good.
Oh, I miss him.
He was solid.
I miss hanging out with him.
Were you in any of his movies?
It was a rape.
I was not in a city.
Did you meet him?
Movie, no. No, I never met him.
Have you ever met a couple of schmoes before?
Just
did it.
I like that. Oh, you went on a date with that chick last night? How many schmoes you give her? It's the new first, second base thing.
That's true. I give Little Wolverine's beard a 4 out of 4 schmoes.
Hey, thank you very much.
It's an awesome. You should perform at Universal Studios with.
You should have schmoes.
Oh, no, I'm having a baby.
You should have schmoes in different area codes.
All right.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, Schmoes Know. Check them out, schmoesknow.com, and on YouTube. Click on their YouTube clips, and they'll get more hits that way. Just Sam Levine, you can catch him for moments in Inglourious Basterds. And especially in the trailer, that got me so excited. I got so excited. He runs while shooting a gun.
Giant
I can't wait
gun.
To see that.
Oh,
can't
I can't wait
for that.
To see it either someday.
And then, no.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Sam Levine with the
two M's.
Thank you.
One N in Dennis O'Hare, two M's in Sam Levine.
Sam Levine.
And be sure to look at my tour dates and also buy past seasons of this show at douglovesmovies.com. And the next taping of Doug Loves Movies at UCB on Tuesday, April 26th, I'll just tell you right now, I already know who the guests are going to be, and it is going to be super. As always, Mike Ponce is a shithead, and Martini Paratore?
Paratore, yeah.
Martini Paratore is a shithead.
Love you.
It wasn't me this time.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
No, that's not a sore subject. It's just I'm an asshole that just squints at everything and puts off going and getting glasses.
I don't need glasses.
Because I could as soon as I can't read texts on my iPhone, that's it.
Then I will need
the fucking glasses for sure.
Or fall down the stairs.
Well,
but I do mix up the years on the Len Malton app because the coloring of them is it's very hard to read.
You won't need glasses. Just do what Kevin Pollak does. You can change the font size of your texts. You know,
of my texts.
The incoming and outgoing.
See,
text
no,
on your iPhone,
I get glasses before I do a punk move like
it's
that.
It's really ridiculous.
I get fucking glasses before I get the deck of cards with the big face things.
Honest
on
to God, it looks like someone's got. He looks like he's looking at cue cards.
It's the billboard option
on his iPhone.
You have to get a jitterbug, you know, with the huge numbers.
Well, we just had a fucking save it for the air conversation.
No.
That was.
I don't want to mean to Kevin on the air.
Oh no, you weren't.
Guys, okay, set me up for that jitterbug joke again. That was really good.
So here's what we'll do: is since you were rolling on us without telling us, and it was a good conversation, at the end of this, remind me at the end of the show, I'll remind people to stick around after the end theme to hear this part.
It'll be like outtakes. It'll be like the end of Cannonball Run.
Or you can just put it in there without telling anybody.
Director's cut.
No, because I just talked about it. Or it could be like, you know, overtime with real time with Bill Maher, overtime,
right,
that
right,
where you listen to hear a little bit more. Right. Like some people, as far as I'm concerned, will just say, "No, I had enough of those four people," and occasionally, and Matt on occasion.
I like the idea of just like that we're rewarding people who listen all the way through the end theme.
Do you trust that people can hear what you're saying when you're sitting way over there?
Well, I don't think this part needs to be part of it. Now we're just.
I agree. This part does not belong.
I love this part.
I think this makes
this
it real.
This is the best part, yeah. We're just talking about this whether or not we're going to do this and what's going to happen.
The gold that was there has now become.
Now Matt is speaking louder to make sure he's picked up on a microphone.
The deliberation.
I think we show the listeners how the sausage was made and that Matt is the chef of said sausage.
Yes.
When I listen to a podcast and they have anything they have at the end, I'll still listen to it until it goes absolutely quiet. So people are listening to all of this shit. Put it all in.
Do you want to announce it later, like the bonus tracks on your CD?
Yell out bonus tracks?
Yeah.
I'm recording a new CD tomorrow, I'm very excited about getting to yell bonus tracks.
Where are you recording it?
And then do some bonus tracks. What?
Where are you recording?
At the Punchline in Sacramento. It's really
not close to
promote it, and it's two nights from now, actually. Oh. We're recording this on 4/18.
On 4/20.
But now we're repeating ourselves, because that's the stuff I say at the top of the show.
Well, good.
So thanks for listening to all of this crap, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next week.